Hello everyone, how are you all doing? Before we begin today's episode, I will quickly like to tell you about my new course, The Salesforce Solopreneur, a Modern Day Freelancer. Many people have taken the course already and are giving rave reviews about it. If you ever thought about being a solopreneur or a Salesforce freelancer, then this course is for you. I cover all important aspects such as how to set up the business, how to create your brand, how to create your identity, and how to go ahead and acquire and deal with customers. Not only that, I also go ahead and share my best practices and also the potential pitfalls that you should avoid. So go ahead, go to learn.forcepreneur.com and check out the course for yourself. Use the code FP10 to get a 10% Christmas discount. It's FP for Forcepreneur, 10 as number 10, FP10. And now enjoy the episode with Ines.
I don't like labels. I'm someone that doesn't really like to be put in boxes. I really struggle with it, and most likely that's why I fly solo. And although I understand that there has to be a common understanding across different roles and responsibilities, I don't really attach any to myself.
What's up, everyone? This is Ankit from Forcepreneur.com, and you're listening to the Forcepreneur podcast. On this show, I talk to founders of profitable Salesforce businesses and try to get a sense of what it is to be an entrepreneur in Salesforce cosmos. How did it all start, and how was the journey until now? How do they make decisions, both in professional and personal life? Our goal here is to learn from their examples so that the rest of us can go on and build our own profitable Salesforce businesses. My guest today is not only Salesforce certified, but also has multiple Scrum certifications. Her LinkedIn reads, "Delivering Salesforce with Scrumban." She is involved in multiple dreaming events, most importantly Dream Olay and Your Leading. Above all, she is a solopreneur wearing multiple hats. A Salesforce MVP, founder, and CEO of Get Agile. Hello, Ines. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ankit. Thank you so much for having me.
So, delivering Salesforce with Scrumban. Explain.
Okay, good question to the point. Delivering Salesforce, I would assume that we kind of understand what that means.
Right.
And Scrumban is a mixed word for two different frameworks to apply Agile in your deliveries. So I'm someone who thinks that you don't really have to get too attached to any particular frame or process or way of doing something because things change so quickly. And Scrum is a very often used framework that gives you a rhythm, in a very quick way to say. When you deliver something, a rhythm of feedback, constant loops, so you can tune and adapt to deliver value. And right. Kanban, it gives you a constant flow. And the two things together, I think it works really well, especially with Salesforce solutions that things move fairly quickly. It gives you a flow and a rhythm so you can deliver better value sooner.
Nice. So that was the whole idea of Get Agile. Like, let's get to it. So that's how did you come up with Scrum? No, you didn't come up with Scrum, but how did you come up with the idea? So I see that you are, like from your tweets and your post, you are firm believer in Agile methodology, or your company is called Get Agile, you know, but you also like Kanban. Me too. I think no one solution fits all. So you kind of have to make a mix and match, you know, and see what suits your organization. So what was the idea? How did you get started with Get Agile?
Good question. So mixing both my love for Salesforce that I've been banging on about already and Agile really is there to help companies to change their mindset and to figure it out how we can continuously improve not only in the products that we deliver, but as well in the process. And for me, coming into the ecosystem after a while, I saw and that was the coming into the ecosystem, I saw that wasn't much wider understanding about what Agile is really about. And it became my mission. I have to let this know. I need to broadcast how this can make our life easier, happier, safer, whilst we deliver better and sooner. So that's basically the key to itself. Why did I found Get Agile? Is to allow the Salesforce community, you know, it's a quest to show that Agile can really, really help us.
I think it's a very good idea too. I mean, it's a very specific niche. And as they say, of course, there's a need, like nobody was doing this before you, and now you're driving it with your, you know, with the whole force, and which is great. Question, did you see somewhere that this part was missing? Because I saw on your profile, you had worked like a Salesforce consultant, in-house consultant at some companies before. And did you see a gap? Did you see something missing? Exactly, that said, oh, this is what I want to do. And were you a Agile Scrum person before you moved into Salesforce? Like, how did your love with Agile and Scrum started?
So fairly at the same time kind of thing. So just because coming from comms, from business transformation, you know, digital solutions have a lot to do with it. But I'm someone that really enjoys learning. I think sometimes I enjoy more the process than the learning itself. And always will be reading and trying different things. And, you know, Agile has been going on for years, but it's became like more trendy, you know, over 10 years ago. And then, you know, there's different ideas into having a stand up and these different things I will try out with my teams, get the concepts completely wrong. But that's how you learn, right? Trying out and adapting.
Right, right.
And so, you know, as I assess the industry, I was quite disappointed to the mass confusion of what this Agile was. So, founding Get Agile, before that, actually, I got my first Scrum Master certification. And that clarified a lot. Had many aha moments, especially trying to use the things properly afterwards. And, you know, the fact to see that release dates were missed or delay, or the products that we were pushing, they were not really adopted. The teams were frustrated. The parts were frustrated. So I just had enough. And it was just time to have a wider impact. And that's basically what I'm trying to do today.
All right. Question for me personally, is it harder to get Scrum certified than Salesforce certified?
No. You don't master anything after 2 days of a Scrum Master, though. That's a disclaimer. But yeah, it's not hard. I think a lot of things make sense. You have different ceremonies and artifacts. It makes you more aware of how to call this. Organizations are an operating system,
right,
in itself, of humans, and it's about those interactions. So it makes you more aware of those things.
I think it can be a laptop sticker. Very nice. Organizations are an operating system. Yeah, nice, by Ines Garcia. Cool. So in Salesforce ecosystem, you know, you've now been here for how long have you been in this ecosystem now? So when did you start with Salesforce?
2013.
Okay, so same as me, I started in 12, so almost 7-8 years. Who are the people that should definitely get Agile certified? Like even the developers? Or so a friend of mine from school, he now is a team leader and he's managing developers and he got certified. And then I saw your post and I wrote to him that, hey, is it worth it? Do you need it? And his was basically, well, I'm a team leader, it's company's requirement and they paid for it. And of course it helps. So, you know, and I was like, okay, then who is the right audience? Is it the consultants? Is it the business analyst / product owner / project manager? These people, who are the ideal people who should get Agile certified?
Well, certifications is something that can get quite controversial. I mean, there is knowledge and information that you can grasp somewhere. Wisdom will come with experience of applying that knowledge. In my mind, if anybody can benefit to understand more the concepts, anybody, because there is a big misunderstanding. It comes with way too much baggage. Some of the concepts gets misused and that kind of thing. It really breaks my heart.
Right. But admins and developers, like, you know, those people too? I mean, admin, sure, but developer too?
Okay, I tell you something. I don't like labels.
Okay, fair
I
enough.
don't. I'm someone that doesn't really like to be put in boxes. I really struggle with it, and most likely that's why I fly solo. And although I understand that there has to be a common understanding across different roles and responsibilities, I don't really attach any to myself. So I think anybody can benefit to understand how can you have shorter loops so you can go to market earlier, get feedback earlier, get revenue earlier, and you can tweak and adapt for what actually the market wants because it's so volatile that you can plan in advance. And I'm sorry if I break this to you, but we can't foresee the future. So you need to go at the same pace, and you need to experiment, and you need to try different things, monitor, validate your assumptions, your bets. If it works, then okay, invest more time and effort and IQ. If not, that's all right. Stop wasting and pivot.
Very nice. I think, but the thing that you said about, I know you a little, not that much, and now I get you more when you said you don't like to be put in a box and labels. I think, yeah, that's, I hope the world worked in that way. So I also call myself a Salesforce freelance consultant, and I would do anything that you would pay me to do. That sounds a little bad, but I would do, but I would do, yeah, if you want me any task. So yeah, that's interesting. So you do workshops and you offer that kind of services if someone wants, right? Like that's what Get Agile is about. It can be an organization, it can also be a person, it can be a small team who just wants to improve their process, right? That's what you do.
Yes. So one of the things that I've been trying to expand over the last year has been productizing. And yes, of course, I can come in and I can do a product implementation or marketing or core or apps or you name it, Social Studio. You know, I have 9 certification plus 2 that got phased out. And I really enjoy learning, as I said. Like for me, it's fun process. And so having the actual do-do of Salesforce, yes, going into teams and help them to understand what Agile is about, yes, but also I'm always inventing stuff, like a crazy scientist. Some things works, some things doesn't, but it's all about trying them little. So right now I have some of the products live, if you want to tell you about them.
Sure, please. I want you to tell people about it.
So one of them is merging my love for board games and agile. So I released last year a pack of cards. It's literally a pack of cards. And the game is called Birds, Nerds, and Turds. And basically the pack is full of those three things, and as well some statements. And what it does is for teams to self-assess, hopefully in a relatively fun way, so they can adapt and highlight some areas that may not be surfaced very easily. And yeah, hopefully in a fun way, at least I try with the statements. So that's one product that is out, released last year. It was great to have it as well in the Dreamforce store. That was a big highlight for me last year.
Congrats,
Then
congrats.
thanks. And another one, obviously, being part of the play-by-play series with Don Robbins in Pluralsight. That's another
Right.
product, it's of course.
Nice. So, speaking of this, how do people get in touch with you? How do people get a hold of that? All of the stuff. If they want to get in touch with you or if they have questions for the game.
So for example, my website is getagile.co.uk, but I try to be present and in social media, so you can find me in Twitter at Ineska Pineska. There is a story with a nickname another time. And in LinkedIn as well, if you literally Google Ines Garcia Agile or Ines Garcia Salesforce, you should find me easily.
Perfect. Good. So now let's thank you so much for enlightening us with the Agile methodology and now come to a little more meat of the talk. So it looks like you have 3 or 4 products, you are doing freelancing, as you said, you're going solo. So when did this entrepreneurship bug bit you? Or when did you say, okay, I'm going to do this? Did you always knew somewhere in you that you have this thing of doing yourself or being your own boss? Because I saw that you have some work experience. You were not always a freelancer, or you was always not like you worked at some company. So how did you decide, okay, I'm going to be an entrepreneur, I'm going to go ahead? And how was that decision like? You know, because a lot of people think that they want to do this, but to make that jump is a bit scary because you lose the security of a job, of an employer, of monthly salary, right? So, yeah.
So, as I said, I don't like boxes and labels very much. I think we're all unique. And again, I think that's some of the reasons that I've been very drawn close to this community, because you can do whatever you want only with the tech, but in terms of, the input that you have, and it's brilliant. And yeah, we're all unique. We have so many different traits that it will make us perfect asset for any organization. Doesn't matter what your contract agreement is. So for me, it's not about the money. So don't, if you are thinking to go freelance and your trigger is the money, don't do it, because there is so much more to life. And in today's market, the demand is so high, like even today's when we are recording, and at least in the UK, you can get very, very good salaries and you don't have to go through the hassle. And I must admit, working for yourself, it brings another layer of activities for one to do, like raising invoices and having accounts up to date and expenses and insurance and the pension and the medical cover and the lead gen and the blah, blah, blah. So now, if there is a deep reason that you want to go freelance, then go for it. Again, the market is high in demand, so you have the opportunity to try and to fail and to try again and to do whatever. So for me, being an independent consultant gives me the flexibility to be able to support the community in ways that I don't think I would be able to, and also to invent and experiment my crazy ideas that I don't think I will have headspace for.
Right.
That's the value that it gives me. I'm quirky, this is me. So I don't think how well my quirkiness will go in a perme position. So,
Right. I think this advice is absolutely gold, that don't do it for money. I also say the same thing. If you are doing freelancing for money, then it's wrong. You can get better high-paying jobs with less stress, you know. Like I also do freelancing, so I can do stuff like podcasting or music or even spending more time with my friends playing badminton. That can be a thing. Or baking. I love baking. So, you know, so there are different things to it. So good, but how was the decision for you? When did you decide? And what was that process like? Because I'm sure there must be some thought behind it. Or were you just like me, you just did it and went with the flow?
As I was mentioning before Salesforce, I was already having like interim contracts and things like that. So it
I
wasn't
see.
completely new to me. And for me, this particular company, it was more about being closer to the Salesforce world and be like, hold on a second, we can do this better. Help, I'm gonna do it, and that's it. It was in my mind for a couple of years. Shall I not? Shall I? Shall I not? Again, because you have a great opportunity to have a very good agreement without having to fly solo. And it's nerve breaking. You don't know, right? You don't know what you don't know until you try. So.
Right. I also say to people, the worst thing that you will have is you would have made some experiences. I mean, you gain something out of experience. It makes you better. You know, you get a thicker skin, so to say. Right. So you function only in and around London. Or when did you move to London? Because I also see you were involved in Dream Olé, and you also used to run the Madrid group, right?
Okay, so I like to call myself a digital nomad, although
Oh,
right now
nice.
I'm not traveling. We were talking just
No one
before.
is traveling.
You see, we were talking just before. I was off for a month in Japan, and I do go off and discover the world one bite at a time. I really enjoy doing my food. So, I was in Hyderabad a couple of years ago, and again, the community gives me the opportunities to go crazy in my travel. So I do work across the globe. I've done work, and I am doing work with some US customers and with Singapore. And, I'm very open with multiple things. In terms of my involvement with the community in the Iberian Peninsula, is I tell you how it came about, I think 4 years ago, maybe more, Alex from the community team post
Alex Pisani.
Put a note in a group in the online community called Spain User Group and said, anybody can help on this? And by now, I think you and the listeners can imagine what happened. I jump in. I mean, I help, you know, from the distance. I do a lot of the work for distributed teams, and, you know, distributed doesn't mean dispersed. So in relatively quickly and within a year from that one group, now we have, I don't have enough fingers in my hands to count them. So that brings me joy because, as I said, Salesforce is in Spain is an emerging economy, and there is a great opportunity to bring down that unemployment thanks to bringing professional into the field. Because again, you know, if you're hesitating, should I learn Salesforce or whatever else, then go for it, because you already have what makes you unique. If you have background in marketing, if you have background in whichever industry, there's a space for everybody. We need those professionals. You don't have to be in everything that you are and you have. You just learn at the applications and other things on top.
Right. Nice.
So so for me, contributing in Dreamolea and all of that is bridging that gap.
Nice. I think that's a very good deed that you're doing. I know that in Spain, there's a lot of unemployment. I mean, the most employment is tourism and football, if you want to call it that. But apart from that, you know, I've been to Barcelona once and I was looking forward to Dreamolea. So I think that's a very good deed that you're doing. So since you are a digital nomad, let's talk about what's your customer acquisition model, or how do you get work, or work comes to you?
It's a great sort of link to the previous one, that if you're thinking to go freelance, don't just go gung ho one day to another. You need to prepare yourself, right? And I think unconsciously I have been working towards that before I make the move, because it literally took me 2 days between finishing my previous placement and start my first placements with Get Agile. And that is not something that it just happened.
Right.
So I'm deviating a little bit, but I have multiple customers. I don't only work with one at a time. And I work in time and materials because, again, I think not specifically agile, but in a sense, yes, I value more the interactions and bringing value than specific contracts. So for me, it's all about honesty and working together towards the common goal, that me
very
being
good
contractor or not. So I find that it's a very honest way to do business and remove the hurdle and waste of time on contracts renegotiation when we need to prioritize for something else, right? And expectations and things is going to change over time. So you can focus with your customer in bringing value instead of doing this other admin stuff.
Nice. So yeah, I also always say that you cannot just, you know, wake up next morning and be like, I'm going to be a freelancer. You know, you have to work towards it. You have to make a certain profile. You need to have certain presence. And as you mentioned, you are unique. So you need to work on your own brand. Like when people just hire, I mean, anybody can do a Pardot implementation, but when you do a Pardot implementation or when you do any implementation, you give it that Enos touch, right? That's why people hire you. So you need to have kind of that brand building around that. Can you tell us a little about that? And I think that also comes with how you are involved in different communities. So it's not just about helping Dreamolea, but you also gain how to organize big events, you know? So can you tell a little about brand building? Because you certainly have a brand of yourself.
Thank you. Again, I think a lot of it has been unconscious build. And so for me, it has 3 steps. If you want to have a stable and scalable company, and one is your personal brand and having clarity of uniqueness. What is your elevator speech? What it makes you unique? Because again, we all have that, and you are the creative force of your life. So you have the opportunity to take that and do things that you care about. Like, again, I was saying earlier, don't try to copy paste whatever you see. which medium you enjoy. I never in my life imagined that I will enjoy so much writing in English. Like, it's crazy. And I generate a lot of content and it's good fun. And it's a very good way for me to digest some of the things that I've learned and how I've solved certain things. But, everybody have their own medium. So go for it and try things that are new. Also, get drawn to things that you are passionate about. I was talking about the unemployment and other things. So just do what you care about. It just couldn't be a better place,
Right.
seriously. So one is about your personal brand, the message that you have it clear, have it diverse, reuse the content across different channels, do it in the medium that you care about the most, bring value ultimately. Whatever you are inputting is about bringing value. If you don't have anything to say it. Don't just make noise. There is way too much noise nowadays. We don't need more meaningless content. So that will be
Absolutely.
about brand input, right? And I must admit, I wake up at 6 in the morning every day, and I invest a lot of the time in the morning to do my things, my writings, the mentorship, some of the preparations for the events, and different things like that. It doesn't happen by magic. You invest time onto things.
Discipline.
Yeah, absolutely. Discipline and a rhythm, right? Getting into a rhythm for me is so important. Like, I really organize myself, block my calendar. I know what I'm achieving. I even break down some of the key points. So, whenever I get to do that thing, I have bullet points to reduce the context switch time. So, yeah, it's all about, that investment, that rhythm, that constant improvement of getting better at what you do. And it doesn't happen just because. And mean well and bring value. That's
Absolutely.
your face of a time. Then obviously another one is products, and that's what I'm inventing stuff around. We have the time that we have, and time is perishable. And for me, as I said before, it gives me the ability to not work and do other fun things. So products is where I see the expansion of revenue and the stability over time, because I don't have the desire to work more hours a day, as you can imagine. I still want to bring value. How can I bring value without me being there? Is with products. And the third one will be partnerships. Is we can't do these things alone. So how can you bring value, extending the circle of influence, and you do that with partnering?
Nice. All right. So I have two questions, but first, since you mentioned, being products, being like a passive income or generating different revenue, or let's call it our retirement plan, because at some point we want to get retired, even if we love the things we do to love. What's your revenue been like? How do you see? Are you in comfortable position? Is being solopreneur fruitful, also money wise?
Right, so I'll say don't do it for the money because I think you will be in a more or less the same position. The fact that you're gonna need to pay personal tax as well as corporation tax and your VAT and your blah blah blah, and you pay your own pension and blah, blah, blah. It's a hassle, right? So I do it for the time and the ability to take time off. Like, I got married 2 years ago and we disappeared for a month and a half. Then this January we disappeared for a month. And having the ability to travel around the world when I can and having time off, like, wasting time for me is like a kind of suicidal. Guys, this is perishable. Do the most out of it. So in terms of my figures, don't have them in front of me, but I will say it's pretty much the same because, again, the ecosystem is booming. You could get a very good salary. For me, it's the time that I get. I don't know how I could quantify this to you.
No,
It's
it's absolutely right. But at the end of the day, we have to pay the rents, we need to buy the bread, or even if we want to make the bread, we need to buy the flour and stuff. And the world doesn't live like that. So the question is, you are able to make good six figures working as a freelancer? Would you say that's a good assumption?
Like how I'm set up is a limited company. So the money goes into the company, and unless you're really keen to give the money to the tax man, there is certain amount of threshold to extract a year from your company. So that's where I base myself. So I live in central London. My flat is small. I do get to travel and do a lot of things in my free time. So it's good, but it doesn't translate to the turnover of my company because money is over there. But also, you don't want too much money over there because then you need to pay more taxes out of it. So there is a sweet spot of happiness, and for me, it's about having a happy basic life that I can travel and eat deliciousness and time off whilst having to compromise to other things. So
Right. So this is also a very classic model in Germany. I'm not doing it right now. I should do it, which is basically you set up a company, company does the whole business, company pays all the taxes, and you get a salary, and then everything is covered with the salary. And there's this basic salary of, at least in Germany, it's around 3 to 4,000 euros, which is, I think, pretty decent. And this is where your tax is not that high, and you get all the benefits like insurance, rent, pension, all of that. And if you get more salary, of course, your tax started going above. Again, I'm not married yet, by the way. Congratulations on your marriage. So that's how also you are set up. But you would say if you work hard enough, it's good, it's easy, it's not that hard to make six figures also for your company. I mean, it's fruitful for people. It's
yeah, I
achievable.
mean, we wouldn't last very long otherwise, but yeah. And being able to try that is like, I want to create this game, right? So I'm gonna invest time to do it, and I'm just go gung ho. I'm gonna print hundreds of cards and see how it goes, you say? So it's having the flexibility to utilize the assets of the company in some of the experiments as well. So
I think you're the one of the first persons that you also said the income is not just about the money part of it. The income is also what time you save and what do you do with this time. And that's absolutely perfect. That's the best answer on this question until now. So before we move to the challenges part, I want to ask, and this is again a personal question, you develop a lot of things, and I have also a bunch of ideas. I created this job board, and I have also many ideas. How do you set aside time? Like, do you say, okay, so what I do, I tell you, on Saturdays, usually every 2 weeks, I have something called as a contemplation time. And I learned this from Toto Wolff, who's like the F1, Mercedes F1 chief. What I basically do is I will sit in my room, I will meditate, and I tell my girlfriend and friends that I'm not available. And I have a notepad and I let all the thoughts that come to my mind just cross. And I write down if something is interesting or if there's an emotion or something, I feel it. And I do it for 2, 3 hours. There is nothing expected to come out of it at the end of the session, but there's always something that comes out of this session. And this is my way of exploring. But now I have this list of ideas. Now I need to work on it too, right? Like, as you said, they are not going to happen by themselves. So, how do you, when you have these new ideas, how do you go about executing them? Because execution is everything.
yes, absolutely. Execution is everything. And execution in small batches, they all bets, and not all bets works. So how I do it, I use Salesforce. So I have a
I don't know about
backlog.
this tool.
I have a backlog of stuff I want to do, and I rank them and I review this. So what I try to do is mostly focus in one biggish thing. Obviously, I have my work with my clients at the same time, but one at a time. Otherwise, you have so many things in progress and nothing finished. And only things finished is what brings value, not many things in progress. And that's one of the Kanban concepts of work in progress limits. Help yourself. So if you can do one thing at a time, go for it. Then also, I schedule. I use my calendar a lot. So this is my focus right now. I'm gonna block time to make sure I invest my headspace as well on it. It's not only about the doo-doo, but being able to organize how am I gonna break things down and every day achieve a something. With the cards, for example, I had the idea coming from the client's office one day, and it took me months to actually do something about it because it was this big thing I needed to do until I said, I need to start applying what I said to everybody, to myself. How can I break it down? How each week I'm gonna deliver value towards it. And that was the only way that after a couple months I actually was placing the order to the manufacturer for the first order. So, we need to bring things in small batches and experiment and achieve something every day to get closer towards where you wanna go. That
So
is how I roll.
calendar is your favorite tool.
Yeah, so having a prioritized list in Salesforce, for example, or whatever it is, which is flexible enough, you can move things around and gives you the ability to see lead time, how long since the idea creation to the deliver, or
Wow.
BIN is fine. And then obviously the calendar really helps me to avoid other disruptions coming in. Like I even have sections of the day where I looked at emails. I really made a conscious effort to reduce the amount of notifications and things, how my, it's still work in progress, but how my workspace looks like. It's really important that we help ourselves to don't multitask. It's really not good. It's waste. It generates noise, context switch, all of that is waste. So yeah,
Absolutely.
calendar really helps me to reduce that waste and force me to focus that 1 hour or whatever it is to achieve something.
Absolutely. Perfect. Nice. That I think is very enlightening, and that was really good information. Slowly, we are coming to the end. So I wish we had had more time to record more questions because I think I have many more, but I'll come quickly to. So, what have been your challenges of being a solopreneur so far? Have there been any challenges, or was it just a smooth sail and all hunky dory? Or what have been your challenges, and how did you overcome them?
Good question. So I can tell you my recent one that has been very, not very painful. It could have been worse, but for anybody that may be making the move, choose an accountant.
Right.
Choose an accountant that is regulated. So I had an accountant from the beginning because I listen, that's the last thing I need in my head, having to learn those things.
Yeah.
But it was a company that I think was quite well graded, and especially here in the UK for independent contractors. But they have been horrible. So I moved accountants recently because of a few years. They changed 5 times my designated accountant. I supposed to have this priority 24 hours response, and they will be responding me that my accountant was on holiday. So which kind of value does that answer bring? And to extract my information from the old system into the new system is tears and blood. Seriously, they have been as difficult as possible. So with that, it's not only have an accountant, also that is regulated because I can only go that far with these people because they're not regulated, so I can take them farther for their horrible way of operating. And also use one that you can use an application that is independent to your
Okay.
accountant. So you move over time, maybe with accountants, but your application, all your P&L, all your different transactions, and stays in this one place, and you give access to your chosen accountant to it. So yeah, I just moved to this free agent, it's called, but that hopefully, you know, over time, it basically allows me to change accountants if I want to, but all my accounting and all my movements in my company, they're all there. So yeah, that has been very painful. And kid, I'm sorry to bring everybody down, but
No, I think getting an accountant is very important as a freelancer, and I touch wood, I have a freelancer friend, and he kind of introduced me to my tax accountant, and he's a gem of a person, and he saves me so much headache. So I am going to him and I'm like, "Can we do something shady and save some tax?" And he's like, "No, we are going to follow the book." So yeah, no, it's I think as a solopreneur that's very important to have a good tax accountant, of course. Yeah.
And then you have other things. For example, there is a membership here. I think it's for the UK. I don't know if it's global. It's called IMPSE, IPSE. And you can become a member, and that gives you like, it's like a home for contractors and independent freelance
Oh,
professionals.
interesting.
So yeah, it gives you tools and resources and support when there is new legislation coming up that they love changing. Then it gives you highlights of how that affects the different kind of setup that you may have. You also, with them, you get like if you need your contract review and things like that, you have like a network of things that I think is really valuable. I can't remember how much it costs a year, but it's nothing for what they give you.
Right. Okay. So, but apart from having an accountant, you did not face any much challenges in your business so far. And you're also like 3 years now in the going. I saw that you're at least 3 years now. So there were not many challenges, you would say, until now, which is a good thing. It doesn't have to be that way.
So I think one of the things that I see often that thankfully I think I haven't been in the position to is having to chase very much for payments and things like that. As I'm set up on time and materials, I will send my invoice at the end of the week, and that's how I work. So I don't have to depend of any other paying any other invoices or anything like that. This is my time. I'm investing it with you now, so that is when I'm gonna charge you, and we're gonna work towards the value. So, but I hear some horror stories of, oh no, so the client is not paying me because they don't like what they see, or they whatever, whatever. Also, if you show them every week and you work together towards bringing value, you probably wouldn't have that problem. But I've had some hints of, oh, my client may not pay me. Well, that's your problem. I don't deal that way. I invested my time. So I think I've been lucky. It's been a bit tense at times, but yeah.
Yeah, I happened to me too that one client didn't pay, and then, yeah, it's another story for another day, but it was not cool. But in Germany, you can buy insurance against all of that, so I have that and I would highly recommend. Right. Another last few questions. One of the questions that I ask people, which are companies, are how are your relations with the local Ohana? So you are deep in Ohana, that's how we know each other. So I know your relations are very good. Has that helped you in business?
How to say, I think the Salesforce community is the advantage that I don't think they speak enough about, out of all the advantage of Salesforce, but it's the one that no one can compete with. So in a sense, of course, it has helped me. Like how I came about the community with the answer section, that anybody will help me to solve my business problem. Absolutely, yes. And it's really dear to my heart. That's why I invest a little bit of time every day in the answer sections, right? And being present, I think, also helps for that brand awareness of yourself, personal brand. And I have met persons in some of the events that has led to some work. So yes, that I probably should quantify and have a better tracking of it. I agree. But I don't do it for the money. I think life is perishable, and like Beyoncé said, you know, I want to leave a footprint in the sand of time, and that's how I do it.
No, absolutely. But also, all the dreaming events that we are going to, at the end of the day, they are business events. They are networking events. And there is nothing wrong if you get any business in that. Through this question, what I'm trying to say is I want to, the people who attend the dreaming events, we know, but there are a lot of people who are like, oh, this is a waste of time. Why should I go to Prague? Why should I go to Amsterdam? Actually, it can be fruitful for you and for your business. I have had job offers, I have had contract requests, and all of that, you know, at Amsterdam, like at the same your dreaming last year where we met, I had like three offers at the end of the day, and I didn't even ask for one, you know, just because I did a talk over there. So that's also an investment, you know. So this is for people who don't go to these dreaming events, so we want them to come, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a brilliant content. It's what I love the dreaming events is that it's tangible and honest and actionable content you can use next day. No commercial blah blah. It's really down to get using whatever you learn. So it's fantastic. And absolutely, it's a great way to contribute into content too. And that gives you visibility and brings that up the ranking of knowledgeable person about that content. So
Right. I wish people were more active with the content. So I did a IoT workshop. Nobody cloned my repo, and people were like, yeah, we're gonna do it, but nothing happened. But that's another story. All right. Slowly we are coming to the end. So what's your advice for budding forcepreneur or people who want to do this? Give me three tips.
the advice is, well, I must admit that it's challenging of being independent because there is constant changes and uncertainty around it, and you don't have a safety net around you. And but that's a good thing because it keeps you on your toes and grounded. And as everything keeps constantly change, like Kaizen we were talking about, is a Japanese business philosophy about that continuous improvement. And so three pieces of advice for whatever your journey is would be: value the individuals and the interactions over processes and tools. Processes and tools are that are supposed to help us, but the value is in the individuals and the interactions. Value the customer collaboration over contract renegotiation, and we touch base on that one today. The value, the time, the investment, and the IQ, put it on that collaboration. And third is value that responding to change over following a plan, because nice. We can foresee the future.
Nice. Interesting. Thank you. I think that's very gold advice. There are a lot of things that you said in this episode. There should be like stickers, and maybe I get a tattoo or one or two. No, they're absolutely, absolutely pure gold. I think that's very good. All right. Before we finish, I know you love to read. You also do book reviews. I love to read. Are there any books that you would recommend to people, or at least give me your top two books that you would say you should definitely read this?
This is such a difficult question, because I do enjoy reading a lot.
Because I see that you read, and I read your recommendations, and I'm like, oh, I know this, I have to do this. So I knew some of the things that you said. And yeah, go for it. You can give one or two books. I think books are a great way to acquire knowledge.
It helps you to stop and pause, which I don't think we do very often. So check out my book series in LinkedIn. It's another invention, recent, just pinging some thoughts that some of these books have triggered. I'll say I really enjoy Collective Genius. And it's a book by some researchers of Harvard University. And they basically went across multiple different organizations, finding out, like Pixar, for example. You don't really know so much the name of the CEO, but you see the wonderful things that comes out of that. And it really brings how you can lead within organizations to bring people together, right? Get out of their way and help them to overcome obstacles. So it's a fantastic book to see how some really bright minds helps around in different industries. So that one is lovely. And also another one that Anup recommended some time back is Black Box Thinking. And it really opened my mind. It's not for... You need to be strong to read certain areas of the examples, real life examples that he puts. But black box is the black box of the airplanes, and it talks about how aviation has transparency to become better, so ingrained, and other industries don't have. It's amazing. And it talks a lot about marginal gains, about the concept that we were saying, experiment, mini experiments and measure. And, you know, just don't go by your gut feelings, but validate and decide what you do next. It's a very powerful book.
Nice. Thank you, Ines. That was really great information. And I hope people take some of that. I think you have many tips and to give, and if people want, they can always connect to you on different places. Before we finish, I have a surprise rapid fire round. I don't know you know about this, so this was not sent to you initially. So basically, I'm just going to quickly ask you some questions like this or that, and then you give an answer, okay? And be quick. Ready? Okay, so I start. Tea or coffee?
Tea.
Windows or Mac?
Mac.
Ebooks or hard copy?
Hard copy.
Are you a morning person or an evening person?
Morning.
Meditation, yoga, jogging, workout, journaling, your favorite?
Yoga.
No running? I thought running. Okay.
I do it.
Okay. Madrid or Barcelona?
Barcelona.
Paella Valenciana or Paella de Marisco?
Paella de Marisco.
Okay. If you could beam yourself to one place, where would it be?
Oh my God, this is so hard. London, babe.
But you are in London. If you could beam yourself.
Yeah, why not? I don't know. This is so hard. I love Japan. Maybe I should say Japan.
Right. If you had time machine, would you like to travel in the past or in the future?
In the future.
Which city do you like to travel to for business?
Osaka.
What is the most crazy thing that you have seen in an org?
My God, the most crazy thing I've seen in an org. Well, using one user for multiple individuals.
Okay. And what is the best thing that you have seen in an org?
Separation of concerns and loosely coupled architecture.
Nice. Best Dreamforce and why?
Last year, I had incredible conversations. It was deep. It was brilliant in comparison. Maybe I didn't pay enough attention to content, but yeah.
So last year being 2019. Last question. 2019. Can Google be dethroned?
Anything can be dethroned.
Perfect. Thank you, Ines. That was great talking to you. For me, it was a very learning experience. And do you have any closing notes?
Well, Asaidos, thank you ever so much. I really enjoyed chatting with you. We should do this more often, Ankit. Closing remark is, you are what makes you unique. Go for it. Show it to the world. Only you can do it.
Nice. Perfect. Thank you. That's very good for the end.